Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Good morning. It's a beautiful day wherever you are. Hopefully, wherever you are, it's a beautiful day, and I'm just grateful and thankful to be alive to see another day, as I know that you are as well. Well, it's a Sunday morning, and I've got the perfect way to start the day for you today. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in. If you've been following the show for a while, you know that now Dr. Watkins comes on Sundays once a month. And so today we're going to actually be speaking with Dr. Ted Watkins, doing a part two to a show that we did last month, actually it was the month before last, on exercise and longevity, what you need to know. Okay, there's some things that you need to know about exercise and the role that that plays in achieving longevity. So this is part two of that discussion, and I encourage everybody to go back and listen to part one if you missed it, because there's a lot of powerful information in that show that Dr. Watkins shared. And I want you to explore our archives, because Dr. Watkins has been on with us for a while, and we've got tons of shows with Dr. Watkins that I know that you will find so very, very interesting. I mean, we've discussed how to prevent and reverse heart disease, overcoming adrenal fatigue, avoiding heat stroke, the vegetarian dilemma, water deficiency, can cancer be cured naturally, the dangers of cheese. I mean, you name it, we've discussed it. So I encourage you to go down the archives, and when you see Dr. Watkins' name, click play, because you're going to get some information that you're going to want to share with others and that you'll be able to benefit from yourself. But in case you're just tuning in for the very first time and you don't know who Dr. Watkins is, let me tell you a little bit about him. He graduated from the Howard University College of Medicine in 1977. He works in Washington, D.C., and specializes in general practice and family medicine. And as I mentioned, he's a holistic doctor. Now, he started off his career as a surgeon, and so you know that he knows the body. He knows it from the outside, and he knows it from the inside. So you're going to be getting a wealth of information today. And so let me move out of the way and welcome my guest back. Dr. Watkins, it's always a pleasure to have you back. Welcome back, sir. Great to have you.
Good morning. It's glad to be there. I'm glad to be here with you.
It's a blessing to have you. You know, again, when speaking with people who save lives and change lives, that's always rewarding for me. I always benefit from that, because when I talk to people like you, the work that you're doing should be making the news. You know, it should be, you know, coming across the news. They should be saying, hey, listen, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special report. Dr. Watkins then healed another one, you know. So, you know, just grateful to have somebody with your knowledge and expertise, you know, take time out of your busy schedule to, you know, come on and share. Again, we're picking up with a conversation that we started a little over a month ago on exercise and longevity and what people need to know about that. You know, one of the things I want to start off with this, because for those who did not hear the last show, one of the points that Dr. Watkins brought out, which I thought was very significant, was that exercise is more important than diet. As important as diet is, Dr. Watkins shared that exercise is more important than diet. Now, that might come as a surprise for people that are on the holistic health path, on a vegetarian and vegan. Again, as important as diet is, Dr. Watkins, could you pick up where you left off with that thought, that exercise is more important with diet, for those who might not have heard that comment last week or last month?
You know, that's something that really startled me when I found that out. That you know, diet is extremely important, and I stress it all the time with my patients. But in reality, exercise is more important in terms of life expectancy than is diet. Studies show that a person who smokes and yet exercises will outlive a person who doesn't smoke and doesn't exercise. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
To show how powerful exercise actually is. And so we need to just make sure that we get on a regular, consistent exercise program if we really want to live longer.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's powerful. That is very, 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 very powerful because, you know, sometimes you look at people who might be on a holistic health path and then you look at others who might not even be thinking about changing their diet at all, never thought about becoming vegan, never thought about becoming vegetarian, and yet live into their 90s, you know, some of them, you know, live to be 100 years old, you know, drinking and smoking and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, you know. So, I mean, I personally know of a woman who was not a vegetarian, probably never thought about being a vegetarian, lived well into her 90s, but she did go swimming. I mean, she, you know, got with this seniors place where they would swim, and she would get her exercise in. Now, she didn't smoke or drink, but, you know, she didn't eat right either, you know. But, you know, I'm just saying
well,
that.
Well, see, you know, individuals like that, they when you really delve into it, generally you'll find that, one, there are some genetic, some good genes on their side. Two, they probably have low levels of stress, and they may not eat the right things, but they probably don't eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many factors that contribute, you know, and so we don't want to just isolate and say, you know, you have to do this in order. You know, you really need to have a good balanced life. And if you have a balanced life, then you are likely to do very well. I remember I used to do a program for the late Dr. Calvin Rolock. You know, I was his sound off doctor. And this lady called in. It was late Saturday night that we did the show. And this lady called in and she said, you know, I've been eating pork and I'm 85 years old. And she just kept going and kept going. And I tried to be nice because, you know, lady 85, you don't want to. Finally, I had to respond. I said, "Ma'am, how many pills are you on?" You know, and she was about 20 different pills.
Okay.
I said, "You know, I said God has blessed you with these years, but it's not because you eat pork. You know, part of it is probably your genetics." I said, "But if you were not eating the way you're eating, there's a good chance that you wouldn't have to be on any of those medications, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly know people who live into their 90s. Matter of fact, a friend of ours just passed 100 years old, and she may have been on hypertensive medicine, but that was it. I mean, She was in excellent shape. She was still driving, you know. And as far as I was concerned, she didn't even have to diet at 100, you know. She was exercising 3 days a week, but her attitude was good. You know, she gardened. I mean, you know, she had two gardens.
Wow.
And how did she do that? She had all of her children and grandchildren out there gardening too. So she was quite a mess, and but she exercised at least 3 days a week, you know. So, and that was up into her 100th birthday. So yeah, so we can look at a number of factors, but exercise certainly is a very important factor in terms of longevity, and so it's very important that we get on a regular, consistent exercise program.
You know, I brought up the point in the last show that we did on the exercise was that a lot of people, you know, their view of exercise is, I think, what hinders a lot of people from doing it is because when people think of exercise, they think of sweating and, you know, it's a drudgery, you know, it's like, oh man, I got to go exercise. I got to find a way to fit this exercise into my schedule, you know. And for a lot of people, they haven't exercised, haven't even been on a track since high school, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, school does do is provide an outlet for, you know, the kids to get out there and run around the track, and, you know, they have sports and, you know, PE, physical education, and, you know, they get their exercise in. But some people, after they graduated from high school, that's it. They haven't thought about going back on the track.
Well,
unfortunately,
I mean, you're right in a sense, but unfortunately, a lot of young people are getting away from as much exercise. I mean, you know, I'm an old man, so when I was young, exercise was a way of life. You know, number one, we didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we had to walk a lot of places, and we didn't have very much money, and so I would often take my car fare, you know, that my mother gave me to catch the bus, and walk where I was going, and take that car fare and buy my ice cream or whatever I was going to, you know, whatever treat I wanted. So, you know, exercise was a part, whether you were a male or female, it was a part of you. But to get to the point in terms of the sweating, as we're going to talk shortly about the Sprint 8, you know,
mm-hmm.
Studies have shown that you need to sweat. But I think that the fundamental problem is a person's view of themselves. I was up in Connecticut last weekend, and I had to preach and do a weekend seminar. And my sermon title was Self-Love. You know, we have to learn to love ourselves. And if you don't love yourself, then you're not going to do what's necessary to take care of yourself. And that, to me, is fundamental to a person being able to get on a good exercise program and staying on it.
Mm-hmm. That's proof. But if you ask the average person, do they love themselves? You could take somebody that's, let's say, overweight, and ask them, do they love themselves? And they might say, yeah, that's why I don't smoke. You know, yeah, that's why
I
don't drink.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I asked a different question. I asked people, are they happy?
Mm.
You know, and you'll be amazed at how many people are not happy. They're going through life, you know, but they're just not happy. They're not doing things that's meaningful. And I believe part of that is this lack of self-love also. We have to, you know, we have to believe in ourselves. We have to realize that we are important people, that God doesn't make any junk and he made us, you know. And I tell people that issue of love, self-love, is a commandment. Christ was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. That's the only question he was asked. He volunteered, but the second one is just like the first one. The King James said the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor. We got that one.
Mm-hmm.
As you love yourself. That's where we have the problem. We don't, you know, if you would ask that average person, if they would exercise, and their child would live an additional 20 years, would they exercise? Without hesitation, the vast majority would say, I do that hour and a half you asking me about, you know, just to, you know, and as they run and they're asking, how you want me to do it, how long, you know, what kind, but they get started right away. If it's going to benefit somebody else, it's going to benefit mama, you know, it's going to
mm-hmm.
be dad, it's going to benefit the spouse, you know, they'll do it. Even for some of their neighbors, they'll do it, but they won't do it for themselves. That there's a problem with that, Brother Juwanza. There's a problem with that, and we have to look in the mirror and we have to address ourselves. and understand why we have been so deceived that we've come to believe that we are not important. You know, I'm important. You know, now, am I more important than you? No. I'm not more important than the drunk on the street? No. But I'm important. In God's eyes, I'm very important. I need to become important in my own eyes. And therefore, I'm willing to take care of this precious thing that God has given us, we call life.
You know, Doctor, when I look at and think about, again, back to the statement that you made starting off the show concerning the fact that exercise is more important than diet, and that studies have shown that smokers who exercise outlive non-smokers who don't exercise. These are facts. I mean, these are statistics. And so when people listen and hear this and, you know, again, look at themselves and feel like, okay, I'm fit. I just came from the doctor. He said I was good to go. You know, I don't need to exercise. I'm fine. But the statistics don't disappear just because you got a good checkup. The statistics still are what they are, you know. So you might not fall into the category of one needing to exercise now. And even though you might feel
you don't know that you do, because the first sign of heart disease in 50% of people is sudden death. So you can have a good checkup and go and fall dead. You know, so I mean, the young lady spoke at our church yesterday. She's the head of our music ministry. Fantastic young lady, you know, less than 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Went to the doctor at least 4 times, complaining of pain, severe pain in her head. First it was in her neck and her shoulders, down to her feet, all on one side. They did CAT scans, they did x-rays, they did all kind of blood work. She went to specialists, and they all missed the diagnosis. The woman had a huge clot in her neck. And finally, the neurologist sent her for an MRI, and the MRI showed that she had had a stroke, you know. And fortunately, I mean, God, to God be the glory, she has no deficits, you know. Mm-hmm. Mental deficits, speech deficits, you know, weakness, nothing. But they missed the diagnosis for 2 weeks, and she's going back and forth. She went to urgent care. She went to the emergency room. She went to her primary doctor, who sent her to a neurologist. You know, they all missed the diagnosis. You understand? So we can't go by that normal checkup. We just have to do what we need to do and leave the rest in God's hands. And he promises us that he'll be there with us. But it's critical that we do our part. And exercise is part of it, a major part of it.
You know, you mentioned do what we can do and then leave the rest to God. You know, just to stay on that theme for a second, you know, there is a scripture that says faith without works is dead. Could you talk about that? That we have to add some works to our faith. You know, you can believe in God, you know, but there's some work that's going to be involved. You know, we got a part to play. God's got his part. You know, somebody said once, pray as if everything depends on God, but act as though everything depends on you.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard too. Well, I heard the word act, work, you know, is everything. but yeah, that it's the same point. The interesting thing, as I've looked at the scriptures, Christ and his miracles, there was only one miracle that I can identify where Christ didn't have the person to do something before the healing occurred, you know. And that was the man in the tomb, the demoniac. Everybody else, they had to pick up their bed and walk. They had to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. They had to reach out and touch the garment, you know. They had to at least stop the caravan, you know. They had to do something in order to get healed. But But God, you know, He requires that we do our part, and we often don't want to do our part, and so when that happens, then serious consequences occur, and we die prematurely, and then we say it's God's will. It was not God's will, you know. God's will is that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So why is the church full of so many sick people? Is it God went back on His word, or is it we are not doing what we should do? There's plenty of data to show that our lifestyles are killing us. Plenty of data, you know, and yet we refuse to change. We talk about we're blessing, blessing this food. How can we bless where God has cursed?
Come on, man.
You know what I mean? How can we bless where God has cursed? God says that don't eat those scavengers. Don't eat the pork. Don't eat the shrimp. You know, don't eat it. He says it. He says that they don't even touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet we go and eat it and talk about we blessed it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins. He's giving it to you straight. He's giving it to you raw. You know, and sometimes that's how you got to get it. Sometimes, you know, it depends on how a message is delivered. Oftentimes, for example, if I'm laying in the bed and the house catches on fire and somebody comes to me and gently nudges my pillow and says, Jawanza, wake up. You know, the house is on fire. You know, don't you smell that smoke? And I just roll over and I'm like, I get up in a minute. And then they come back and nudge me again. Jawanza, the fire's coming up the stairs now. You know, don't you feel it's getting warm in here? You know, if I just go back to sleep, you know, then that message didn't mean no good. But if somebody comes, and as opposed to whispering, the house is on fire, they turn the lights on, snatch the pillow from under my head, grab me by the feet, and drag me down the stairs, bumping my head on each step, then I'm waking up, okay? So when you hear Dr. Watkins give it to you raw, then understand that it's out of love that you're even hearing this message. It's out of love that he's even coming on the show to share information with you that can help you to live longer. He's got the information, okay? He's already, he said he's an elder. He's already living and healthy. I've seen the brother, okay? He's trying to get you to eat right, to exercise, to take this message and run with it so that you and the people that you love can be healthy, okay? Because, again, the message is for you. You didn't hear this message by accident. You tuned in on purpose. You're here by design. You know, you wanted this information or else you wouldn't be listening. Now, the question is, what are you going to do with it? You know, what are you going to do with the information that you got? Doc, I want to talk about, if we can, are there certain, speaking of exercises, that are, and for lack of a better way of phrasing this, disease specific? For example, somebody that might have heart trouble, are there certain exercises that would be more conducive for them to do as they recover or to even prevent that than others? Are there some that they should not do?
Yeah, there certainly are exercises. We have to look at our condition. You know, if you are in an excellent condition, you can go out and just, you know, run and so forth and do an excellent job. But if you're not in excellent condition, then, you know, if you have congestive heart failure, then it's very important that you recognize that you cannot do that. And so you have to approach it from a different perspective. You know, you may have to you may have to get out and walk, you know, and if your knees are messed up, you may not be able to get out and walk very much. You know, you'll have to get in the pool so that, you know, you don't have the pressure on your knees until you can lose that weight or until you can do some other things. I tell my patients with arthritis, for instance, especially of the knees, that one of the best exercises is the bicycle. But then I even go further. I said, now, you may not be able to get on the bicycle and pedal all the way around because it may be too painful. And so what you have to do is you have to go back and forth, until you're able to pedal all the way around. And what you're doing in that situation, you're stretching and you're strengthening the ligaments. And so it's very important to get an assessment, especially if you have not exercised in a while, from someone who is an authority on exercise. And it's just so funny. When I say that, I laugh because I remember Joe Johns at the time. He was on Channel 4 News here in Washington and later went to NBC and now is on a different affiliate. But he came to me and I asked him, why are you coming to me? He said, I'm coming to you to interview you because you're an authority on exercise and seniors. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm interested in it. I'm doing it, but I'm not an authority. I don't consider myself an authority. And he insisted that I was an authority. I said, well, if you say I'm an authority, I guess I'm an authority. Well, now I guess I am sort of an authority because I've done it for so long and I've helped so many people. But just because I was a doctor didn't make me an authority on exercise among seniors. You know, I had to get out there and I had to learn what they did. And unfortunately, even some people who are, quote, specialists in the area have not really looked and seen what we can actually do. They don't realize what God has done for the human, that we can really reverse many of these diseases, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, if we're willing to get started. And that's really the key, Juwanza. Wherever you are, get started. One of my friends, he's on our committee, and he's an exercise physiologist at Howard, member of the college, the American College of Sports Medicine. He wrote a paper some years ago. His name is Dr. Vernon Bond, and he said that just patting your hands on a consistent basis can exercise the heart just as walking or running. It's just that you have to do more of it. Mm-hmm. And he showed that exercising small muscles would stimulate the heart just as exercising large muscles. And so that's very, very important. But we have to understand that exercising the hand is not going to exercise the shoulder. You know, so if you have a problem with your shoulder, you got to exercise your shoulder. You know, now you may not be able to do much. I'll have patients who have problems with their shoulder, can't raise their arm up. I have them get on the wall, and I have them take their fingers and sort of walk up the wall and go as high as they can and then walk back down with their fingers and then go back up and slowly stretch the arm until they can go all the way over. Someone called me last week, and they were having pain in their back. And, you know, I told them, you know, get in the shower and let the hot water run on your back. And bend over as far as you can, you know, and count to 30, and then go back the other way and hyperextend, you know, and count to 30, and then do that 3 times. He called me back. He said, Doc, you know, the pain is significantly decreased when I did that. And so, you know, and I said, well, now you have to do it regularly.
Right.
And if you do that regularly, you're going to stretch, you're going to strengthen those muscles, and you're going to improve. And so that's where we have to go. We have to recognize that it's critically important that we get started, but that once we get started, we don't stop. But we get started based on where we are. You know, but don't say, but I can't do anything because I haven't been exercising. You know, when I started, probably mentioned to you that I started working with seniors. One of the first projects that I did, or the first project I did, was a project of fitness and seniors. I later called it Walk for Life because I went in these senior buildings. I got permission from the Department of Housing, and I went in the senior buildings. I later worked with the D.C. Office of Recreation and the D.C. Office on Aging. And we went in there, and we worked with these seniors, and we got them up out of them chairs, and we started them walking and stretching and doing range of motion exercises, because I had read that if one would exercise, if a senior would exercise 3 days a week, they could regain 20 years of function in 4 to 6 weeks. And
wow.
So I said, look, I'm a, you know, and the person who said it was a guy by the name of Dr. DeVise, who was the head of the President's Council of Physical Fitness for Seniors at the time. And I said, he's crazy. How can a person 80 function if they were 60? If a person is 70 function if they were 50? I said, but I'm going to prove him right or prove him wrong. And he was right, you know. And I was able to take those principles that I had learned as a little boy growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where we stress health, and I was able to go into those buildings and get those people up out of those chairs and get them walking down the hall, touching the wall, and coming back, you know. And it worked, you know. In 30 days, it was like they were reading out the book, you know. They were reading out the book.
You know, that had to be very, very rewarding for you to see people who had probably even just given up hope on walking, you know, just, you know, had you not come and, you know, into the program with the department there and started working with these seniors, they probably would have just continued to, muscles continued to atrophy and just wither away. And for you to see them come back, and for not just you see it, but for them to see it and their family members see it, you know, like, wow, mama's doing better, daddy's doing better, you know, he's walking again, you know. When you see that kind of result, that's just got to reinforce your faith in the work that you do and what God has called you to do.
Well, they had given up on life, you know. Many of them, they had just given up on life. They were just coasting to the grave, but I tell people they didn't have the courage to kill themselves, but they had given up. They thought that there was no chance that they would ever be able to do anything, and God had a different plan. And many of them, they got to walking, and there was one group, a building called Harvard Towers. It was over near the zoo. And I told them one day, I said, let's walk to the zoo. They said, oh, no, Dr. Watkins, we can't walk that far. And so I said, okay, no problem. Let's go out back. And so we went out back, and we walked to the end of the building, you know, and then we came back. The next day we walked to the end of the building, then we walked down to the other side, and then we came back. And I said, when we went upstairs, I said, look, you all just walked around the building. And, oh, no, no, Dr. Watkins, we didn't do that. And then I drew it out geometrically and showed them that they had walked equivalently around the building, because they walked to one end, then to the other end, and then back. That was just like walking all the way around the building. And so that once I showed them they could do that, then guess what? We were able to walk around the building. And then after we kept doing it for a while and walking around a couple times, I said, let's go to the zoo. Man, those folk, and it was mainly ladies, those folk not only walked to the zoo, some walked from the one side of the zoo, the all the way to the other side, to the Connecticut side and back. Man, these folk understood after a while that they could actually walk. You know, and they got excited about life. You know, one lady in a different building came to me and she said, you know, Dr. Watkins, you know, I really didn't like coming to this class, but this was the thing, big thing going, you know, because how many people have a doctor come into their building exercising them? She said, but yesterday, this is on a Monday, she said, yesterday I went to church and I walked up the front of the steps. She said, this is the first time in 20 years I walked up the front of those steps. She said, I always had to walk up the back, up the ramp, because I couldn't walk up the front. And she said, I got to the top of the steps and I caught myself. I said, oh, you walked up the front of the steps. You know,
right.
It's like if we're willing to do, we can do. But God has put it in us, but we have to be willing. We have to be willing, and that excites me.
You know, Doc, in the last show, you gave a phrase that I think is important for people who have, you know, who are not exercising and, you know, are thinking about exercising. And the phrase that you used last time was beginning is half done. Could you elaborate on that?
Man, I have to be careful what I say around you, brother. You have a elephant memory. You know, that phrase actually was something that Dr. Shuler wrote in one of his books, that you know, we worry about ending. You know, we worry about being able to accomplish it. But what you got to do is get started, because half the work is in getting started. Beginning is half done. If you are willing to get started, you'll be amazed. I had a lady who was my patient for many, many years, and you know, I think I've talked on this program about our fasting cleansing program, which I still believe is one of the best kept secrets in town. And I tried to get her on that program for about 3 years, and she had refused to do it, you know, felt that she couldn't do it. But I kept gently nudging her, and finally she said, you know, I'm tired of being tired. Her pains had gotten so bad, you know, she couldn't hardly walk, and so she was, you know, said, I'm willing to try it. And so she went on the came in to go on the program, and so I explained the program to her, and I told her, and one of the things you need to do while on the program is walk. She said, Dr. Watkins, that's why I'm here. I cannot walk. And I said, and that's why you need to walk, because you can't. But you must understand what I describe as walking. I said, I want you to just walk and until you start to get tired, or until the pain start coming. Do as much as you can do. Don't worry about what you can't do. Just get started. And then as you go through the program, the inflammation in your joints will decrease, and you'll be able to do more. And then as you're able to do more, you'll do more. And so she said, all right, she'll try. Her daughter called me up. She said that she bought her a treadmill 1 week into the program. Because she said she's never seen her mother walk that much, and she didn't want her to stop. So
wow.
Just by beginning, and that lady was able to end up getting off of all of her medication, you know, not in the 14 days. In the 14 days, she got off of diabetic medicine, some other stuff. But she kept going. You know, she kept following the diet, and she kept walking, and she ended up getting up all of her medication. She was on a whole bunch of medicines, you know.
Wow.
And lost tremendous weight and all that, you know, young feeling, got rid of this body odor that she had had for years. I mean, it's amazing what we can do if we're willing to do. Beginning is half done.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, my special guest is Ted Watkins, Dr. Ted Watkins. You have a question and you're listening online, you just call in at 347-324-5727. If you're on the telephone listening, all you have to do is just press 1 and I can bring you on board and you can ask your question. Doctor, let's talk about Sprint 8. You know, again, you talked about, you know, there's this, I don't know if it's an exercise per se or a group of exercises. Could you talk about Sprint 8 and let our listeners know what Sprint 8 is so that we can all benefit from that information?
Well, Sprint 8 is a type of exercise. It's a type of exercise. More importantly, I guess, is a concept, because you can do a lot of different things. You can walk and jog. You can do the stationary bicycle or regular bicycle. You can do elliptical. You can swim. You know, I even have a patient who is going to be doing jumping jacks and doing Sprint 8. So there are a number of things. The principle is variable intensity. Variable intensity. And what that means is you start out, you know, the way I do it, I walk. I walk for 3 minutes. And then I run for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I walk for a minute and a half. That running is considered the sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second walk is considered the cool down. The first walk is the warm up. So you warm up for 3 minutes, you run or sprint for 30 seconds, and then you cool down or walk again for a minute and a half. You sprint for 30 seconds, you cool down a minute and a half. You sprint for 30 seconds, you cool down. You do it a total of 8 times, sprinting, cooling down, sprinting, cooling down. And then you do the final cool down for a minute, 2.5 minutes. So it's a 20-minute exercise. Now, the significance of it is that it increases, it takes you into what we call the anaerobic phase of exercise. Now, there's the aerobic phase where you take in oxygen and the body is able to utilize the oxygen. You take in sufficient oxygen to take care of all the metabolic processes that go on, all right? But then there's another form of exercise called anaerobic exercise, wherein the work that you're doing exceeds the amount of oxygen that you're taking in, and the body has to then go and get energy, because it's using the oxygen for energy from a different source. And so it takes the body into what we call the anaerobic phase, and it creates lactic acid and uses energy from a different source. All right, ketones and so forth. This is part of the anaerobic phase of the exercise. Well, during that anaerobic phase, it's been shown that there's an increase of the growth hormone, human growth hormone. Now, that's critically important because human growth hormone helps to repair and rebuild.
Okay.
Human growth hormone helps to repair and rebuild. We hear about muscle builders and so forth. They take human growth hormone injections or what have you, so that they can build muscle. Well, the problem is that synthetic exogenous human growth hormone can be dangerous. It is possible to get something called bioidentical, which is plant-based human growth hormone. But even that is very dangerous, and it's extremely expensive, extremely expensive. But when you can get your body to produce its own human growth hormone, it's neither dangerous or expensive. And so and it's extremely helpful because it causes certain processes to occur in the body that not only helps to prevent diseases, it helps to reverse some of the diseases that you've already have. And so it's critically important, I believe, and I teach all of my patients and clients to start doing the Sprint 8. Now, I also caution them that they shouldn't try to go from not exercising to sprinting, because mm-hmm. they will be on the road clutching their chest, if not dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to a point of exhaustion. Your heart won't take it. So you have to build yourself up. You build yourself up slowly, you know. And when you do that, then you're able to slowly increase your speed and work up to where you're actually doing a sprint.
So Sprint 8
is an excellent exercise. There's a guy, Dr. Phil Campbell, who I think is one of the ones who popularized the exercise. He's a trainer of professional and Olympic style athletes, and he has gone over the tremendous benefit of this exercise, and I'm just extremely excited.
So you mentioned the oxygen intake, and that's what takes it from the aerobics to the anaerobic phase. Now, for somebody who can't at this point, you know, let's say they just aren't at a point where they can get out on the track and walk yet. I mean, they, you know, they heard this show and they're like, that's my goal. I'm going to get out there. But right now, you know, I'm still at a point where I'm at the point where Dr. Watkins was walking the old ladies down the hall, touching the wall and coming back. Can they still benefit by even if sitting, just doing breathing exercises to get that oxygen in, the deep breathing exercises? Or is the does the heart and the, you know, the heart pumping, you know, the heart rate, does that play a role in getting the, you know, getting the body to a particular point where they where it actually moves from the aerobic to the anorexic phase? Anaerobic.
Yeah, well, you know, a person who's out of shape will get to the anaerobic phase much faster than a person who is in shape, all right? And so that's why, you know, I tell people just to go at your own pace, you know. You know, I remember when I really first got into a different phase of exercise, therapeutic exercise, I had a lady, I put her on the treadmill, and she walked for 5 seconds, and I had to stop her. And then she walked for 10 seconds. I stopped her again. She walked for 15 seconds. I stopped her again. I sent her home because each time she had gotten to that anaerobic phase, she had gotten tired, you know. Well, she was starting to get tired. See, I never let, and I don't want people to get tired. I want them to start to get tired. When you start to get tired, you stop, you rest. You start to get tired, you stop, you rest. You start to get tired, you stop, you quit. This lady, on the third time she came to my office, my goal was to get her in all three times 10 minutes. She walked the first time 30 minutes nonstop. Why? Because over time, her lungs had started expanding.
Mm-hmm.
So her oxygen production was increased. So her work capacity increased. She could walk much, much further without getting tired, you know. And so that's what happens as you start getting yourself in shape. But initially, just a little bit, 5 seconds, the woman started breathing hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to recognize that if she kept going, she'd have been in an anaerobic phase because she wouldn't have been able to get in adequate oxygen. But the problem is, I laugh, I say, you know, when you're young, you that happens to you, and you keep going, and you get that second wind.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're older, you can't do that because your heart may give out before the second wind kicks in. And so you have to slowly build yourself up to the point where your body can take it to a different level, different gear, if you please, and you'll be able to do what you need to do.
You know, Dr. Watkins, it's amazing that, you know, there are people who today find themselves, not amazing, that's not the word, but, you know, there are people who find themselves in positions where they can't, you know, walk. I was speaking to somebody recently, and she mentioned to me that her son's school was across the street, and that she would have to actually get in her car and drive across the street, okay, because she couldn't walk across the street. But I remember times back in the day, I mean, anybody that, you know, lived in the Washington, D.C. area or grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, shall I say, remembers we used to run up the Washington Monument steps, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm. The thing is, Juwanza, and the reason I started that senior program is that we can regain some of that lost glory. Now, you know, I'm not going to say you're going to be able to do what you did when you were 10 years old, you know, or even when you were 30 or 20, you know. But I'm telling you, It is amazing what you're able to do if you're willing to do it. And some people, you know, they'll get crazy, and they'll listen to me, and they'll walk, they'll exercise that hour and a half, 2 hours a day. Now, if they do that consistently, and this is what I recommend for all of my patients, if they do that consistently, then and really and start the sprint eight, you know, which is only a 20-minute exercise, but they do the 20-minute exercise, then they continue on and do the hour and a half, 2 hours. Man, they'll turn that clock so far back, you know. I get people all the time. They've been told that they got bone on bone with their knees. Mm-hmm. I said, no. I evaluate them. I said, I'm not an orthopedist, but I can guarantee you don't have bone on bone, because if you did, you'd be smacking me right now for the way I'm moving your legs, you know. I said, but you do have bad arthritis, all right? But you can do something about it if you're willing, you know? And mm-hmm. so that's what has to happen, you know. You have to be willing to make the change. And if you're willing to make the change, God is able to help you to make that change. I mean, it's amazing what we can do. We have tremendous capacity, you know, but we've lost the vision. You know, we think we're supposed to just get old and become decrepit. That is not what God designed us. The Bible says at 120, Moses, when he went up to die, because God had called him. It says that he had not lost a step and that his vision was still good. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're designed that way. That's the way we're designed. You know, in fact, God designed us to live forever until sin came in. But that's another story.
you know, you said crazy with it. You know, you'll start them off, you know, half hour. Next thing you know, they're doing an hour, 2 hours, or whatever.
Them off wherever they are. If they can't do a half an hour, I start them off doing what they can do. I use the clock only to gauge where we've been. The clock is not the goal. You know, you get out there and you start walking. And you walk until you start to get tired. You know, and you do that three times. Or until you get to an hour and a half, whichever comes first. So the clock is the hour and a half. And some people will do even more than that. They'll do the half an hour of the walking, jogging, bicycling, or whatever, and then they'll do some resistance training for another 30 minutes. That gets them up to 2 hours a day. People say, I don't have 2 hours a day. I said, look in the mirror, and keep looking in the mirror until you see somebody worth changing for. When you recognize that you're of value, you'll find the 2 hours. You find 8 hours to work.
Come on, God. Mm-hmm.
You know? You find time to eat.
Watch TV.
And find time to exercise.
Everybody, my special guest is powerful, powerful, powerful. Dr. Ted Watkins, I'm going to tell you how you can ask Dr. Watkins to share his information, because I know you want to get in contact with him. But, Doc, can you talk about the benefits, though, of strength training? You know, there might be people out there, and, you know, thinking about going into, you know, they're looking at exercise and they're thinking, you know what, maybe I'll become a bodybuilder, or, you know, maybe I need to just go to the gym. Maybe they're at the point where they beyond, you know, hey, I can walk, I can jog, you know, but maybe, you know, can you talk about the benefits of strength training?
So what we're dealing with is that you need to do, I call it resistance, all right? If I'm laying in my bed and I raise my leg up, I'm raising up against resistance, all right? And that is a form of resistance training. If I do a sit-up, I'm actually pulling my body's weight up, and so that's a resistance. If I do a light weight and I raise that weight up, I'm doing it against resistance, and so that's an exercise, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to do exercises against resistance. And when you do that, it increases metabolism up, and it keeps it up for a couple hours even after you do the stop exercising. And so it's been shown that people who do a combination of aerobic and resistance, walking, aerobic, anaerobic, and resistance training, they actually say if they're trying to lose weight, will lose more weight than the person who just does the aerobic or anaerobic exercises, because that resistance increases the metabolism up, and it keeps it up longer than even the aerobic exercise does. And so, you know, I encourage people to really make sure that they are willing to get out there and do, you know.
You know, Doc, again, this information is so powerful, and I know that people want to know how they can get in contact with you. And again, if you enjoyed this meal, guess what? You can have seconds tomorrow. Dr. Watkins has a show that he does on WPFW every Monday. Can you tell people how they can get another taste of this information, Doc, and what you're going to be talking about tomorrow on your show?
Tomorrow I'm actually going to be talking about reversing the aging process naturally. Reversing the aging process naturally. And, of course, exercise is one of the components of that. But we're going to be going into more detail on that. You can listen to this program on WPFW, which is 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., or you can go online to www.wpfwfm.org. And hit listen live. We come on at 2 p.m. and to 3 p.m. every Monday. If you, by chance, miss the program, you can go to the archive, that same website, wpfwfm.org, and click archives. The programs are listed for 1 month, 30 days. And I believe that if you go to our website, which is www.twiliving.com, twiliving.com, I believe we have our programs on there. That's archived. My associate Frank Smith puts them up. I believe he've already started doing that, and so if not, it'll be done soon. So you'll be able to get all of the programs there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to reach me, you can call my office. The number is 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. Or you can reach me through that website, twiliving.org, and you can email us, and we'll be glad to get back in touch with you.
Dr. Watkins, again, I just want to take a moment and thank you for, you know, all of the years that you've been practicing. And I don't like to use the word practicing with you. I don't even say practicing medicine, but healing people and showing people how they can actually heal themselves by, you know, taking advantage of the information that you share with them. I mean, you give them statistics, you give them hope, you give them, you motivate people, you know, to, you know, take control of their lives. And, you know, I know that's not an easy job all the time, because you have some people that are coming to you and they're ready. They're like, hey, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then you have others that come to you and they're like, what? I gotta let go of something? You mean I gotta let go of the meat? I gotta let go of the dairy? You know, so for those people, you know, who you've had to, you know, work with and, you know, have patience with, you know, because sometimes we can be stiff-necked and hard-headed, you know, I want to say thank you for all of the work, for all of the patience, for all of the, you know, the love that you've, you know, shown to your patients and, you know, shared information. I know it's not an easy job, but I know that it's got to be a rewarding job when you hear people come back and give testimonies, and you see the results that you know, when they follow.
And that truly is the reward. It's much more than money. Although this is my occupation, so I get paid for it. But you know, the real reward is to see people change. You know, and it's exciting to me that to see that God, what God has told us, because, you know, when I graduated, and I know we got to go, but when I graduated from medical school, I one of my goals is if there was ever a conflict in what God said and what I learned in medical school or what man said, I was going with God. And God has been faithful, you know, because he is the great physician. You know, I mean, we play at it, but God knows what he's doing. He created us. He recreated us. He knows how to heal us. But yet he wants us to cooperate with him. And so he's given us principles. It's throughout the scriptures. It's throughout other writings, inspired writings. You know, he's helped man to understand some. But as I mentioned earlier, they missed that diagnosis on that woman for 2 weeks, you know. And she was begging them, having pain. I mean, just in tremendous pain. And they're giving them medicines. The medicine's not working, you know. But the disease was there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to recognize that, you know, I mean, patients come to me. Look here, I'm not God, you know. Now, he's taught me a lot of stuff. But I want you to be clear that I'm not responsible for your healing. God is responsible. But you have to be willing to do your part. And exercise is one thing that we need to make a part of our life on a routine basis. And if we do that, we'll get rich dividends.
You know, Doc, before you go, if you could, you know, because this is a holistic, and I put holistic in quotes, a holistic health show. Okay, and when we talk about health, you know, although we do break it down, like I said before, we've done shows on, you know, different aspects of disease, different diseases, from adrenal fatigue to, you know, heart stroke, I mean, you know, all kind of heat stroke, shall I say, you know, just different cancer, the dangers of cheese and all of this. Today we talked about exercise. Tomorrow you're going to be talking about reversing the aging process on your show. When we look at the word holistic and the term holistic and apply it to health, could you talk about that for a moment just before you go? Lastly, holistic health, because when we talk about holistic, we're talking about not just the diet, not just the exercise, but a holistic approach to wellness. Could you talk about that?
Well, I believe it's critical, and I spell holistic not H-O-L. I spell it W-H-O-L, whole, holistic, you know, because it is the whole. We you know, God, you know, gives us a mind, a spirit. You know, stress is one of the major causes of death, if not the major cause of death in our society. Stress, cancer, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, all are associated with stress. We have to get on a regular, consistent exercise program. We have to eat right. We have to get our rest. I believe in a fasting cleansing program. We have to drink plenty of water, get sunshine, you know. There's something called the 8 laws of health. And one of them is we have to be temperate, you know, and then we have to trust the divine power. All of these are our principles of health, you know, that we need to recognize. That's very, very important. We need to get out and get sunshine, you know, fresh air. All of these are principles. And if we would apply the principles in a holistic way, you know, not be stressed, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know, that's part of the healing process, learning to laugh, you know, praise and sing. And I tell my patients, you have to do this before the problem is gone. In fact, the problem may be a blessing in disguise, but we're so busy, we're going to have a heart attack because of the problem when God is trying to bless us, you know. And so we have to develop that stronger relationship with God so we learn to trust him even when he can't trace him. That's my definition of faith, you know, trust when you can't trace, you know. So, you know, those are principles. For me, they're holistic principles that God has taught us and continues to teach us, you know. And if we understand those principles, you know, learning to love our brother, you know, love is a principle of health, mercy, loving self, loving others, loving God. Those are principles of health. And when we understand that, you know, and it seems so simple, and in a way they are simple, because health is not supposed to bankrupt you. You know?
Yes.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I tell people, you know, in my whole career, I've never turned a person away from money. Not one. But if you got money and don't want to pay for it, then you need to go and die. All right? Because you have to be willing to invest in yourself, whatever it takes. You know, I had one lady that had bad cancer, and she needed some herbs. And it cost $140. And she said, Dr. Watkins, I don't have $140. I said, what's those? She said, those are my knees. I said, what do you do with those? She said, I pray. I said, you ask God for the money. I said, when you come back next Wednesday, 1 week, I'm going to give you the herbs, whether you have the money or not. But if God gives you the money, don't spend it on something else. That lady came in. She rushed to the counter, threw that $140 on the counter. She was so excited because God answered her prayer. We talk about trusting in God, but we don't trust him. You know, we trust it out what we can do. You know, I'm a smart guy. I'm a hardworking guy. But all of my intelligence, all of my knowledge is a drop in the bucket. You know, all that hard work is just, you know, a bunch of wind, hot air, you know. We have to cooperate in a holistic way with God, and he will carry us to where we need to be.
Doug, you preaching
we'll be back.
Brothers.
hey, God willing, the creek don't rise. We'll be back.
Okay. Hey, listen, my wife wants to say hi to you. You didn't got her?
Dr. Watkins, hi. How are you today?
I'm doing extremely well. I'm doing extremely well. God is so good to me. So what can I say?
And I thank you so much for the information that you are bringing. It definitely is life-changing. I'm sitting over here with a smile on my face. Thank you so much. And I just want to encourage you to continue to do, which I know you are doing what you're doing. It really is making a difference in so many people's lives.
Keep me in your prayers because they keep me lifted up.
We will do that. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Doug, again, my brother, you You knocked it out the park again, my brother. You knocked it out the park again. You're running the bases now. So I want to thank you again for all of the work that you've done. Fabulous, fabulous show. Again, I encourage everybody to contact Dr. Watkins. Doc, can you give your number one more time for the people, please?
But the number is area code 202-388-0992. That's area code 202-388-0992. 388-0992. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a tremendous job in the community, and I've seen the effect of your work, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. God bless you, and you have an outstanding day.
Thank you so much, Doc. I appreciate that. Coming from you, man, that's humbling. And may God continue to bless us to keep doing what we're doing and so that God can get the glory.
Amen.
Amen. All right, my brother. Thank you so much for your time, everybody. That is Dr. Ted Watkins. I guarantee you that if you go down the archives and listen to the shows, that you're going to definitely be blessed again and again and again. Brother filled with so much wisdom, so much knowledge, and he's changing lives and he's healing lives. And so, please, you're not here by accident. You tuned in on purpose, and now you have an opportunity to not just go back and listen again for yourself. You can listen and share this information with other people that you know that need to hear it. What a motivational show this was. I mean, we don't have to be sick. We can be 100% well. And if you just so happen to find yourself in a place that's not optimal health-wise, you can change that. Whatever the doctor said that you have, you can reverse that, okay? But you can listen to all of the shows in the world, but unless you're actually ready to make that change, then nothing's going to change. So I encourage you, gently, lovingly, to give Dr. Watkins a call, okay? Share whatever it is that you need to share, and be open and willing to follow the recommendations that you receive. Because your health is really in your hands. He can talk to you all day. He can motivate you to the point where you're screaming and jumping and shouting. But until you actually make the change, nothing's going to happen. You didn't hear this show by accident. This show could be the answer to your prayers. Okay? Now, I want to encourage you to go back through the archives. If you're tuning in for the first time and you haven't been down the archives, hey, if you're in the holistic health, this show is for you. We've got shows with Dr. Ruby Lathan, who cured herself of thyroid cancer. After the doctors told her she had thyroid cancer, she changed her lifestyle and got rid of the condition. Brother Coy Dunstan, who cured his mother of cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon, okay? Actually, and she was the very first person that he had ever worked with holistically. Now, Coy Dunstan had aspirations of becoming a lawyer. Okay, he had graduated from law school, so I just want you to know, these people are educated people. Brother Coy graduated from law school, cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. Dr. Lathan is a doctor, as you can tell. Dr. Watkins graduated from Howard University College of Medicine in 1977. So we're not talking about people who just got into this today, okay, just read a book. We're talking about people who over years and years have watched and seen the power of changing your diet to a live it and living a life that is holistic, okay? And you can do the same thing. I just want to encourage that. Aquia Shepherd-Chan wants to say something. Yes.
And yes, I just want to thank everyone that continues to listen and support this radio broadcast just by even following us on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us, just as Jawanza said there. We have tons and tons of archives of all of these dynamic guests that he mentioned. And this is what we do. We want to bring this information to educate you, and it's free. All you have to do is tune in and listen and apply it, and it can change your life, your family's life, just by you listening to the information, sharing the information with others, and changing your life. I thank all of the speakers that have come on and the guests that have been on the radio broadcast. We've been doing this for how many years now?
Oh, God, no, about 3 or 4 now.
About 3 or 4 years, and we have tons of archives that you can go back and listen to. But I also want to thank my husband, Jawanza, for what he does, because he has been steadfast with this. This is his calling, just like Dr. Watkins has recognized that that's his calling. this is his calling, this is our calling, and we want this gift to be something that you can continue to just grow from and change your life. So thank you so much again for listening.
And thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, I appreciate that. Aquia Chepsuter is my right hand, you know, and together we bring this information so that you can live and so that you can grow and so that you can prosper. Why do I say prosper? Because you can't do anything if you're not healthy. Your health is your wealth. And so for all of the people who've taken time out to listen, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate that. We appreciate that. Share the information. All it takes is a click of a button just to share it with people that you know, okay, so that they can benefit from this information as well. What a way to start the day. What a way to start a Sunday morning off. So, everybody, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Again, don't forget to go down to archives and check it out. We've got shows on spirituality as well. You don't want to miss those shows. I mean, we've got shows with Shechem and Shechem Raul Nephi Man. We've got shows with Owahehe Metarai Comet, shows with Hexham Suheru, Shechemayam Nater, other members and priests of the Osiriset Society. We've got shows with entertainers. We've got shows with Lou Gossett Jr., Margaret Sugar Avery. We've got shows with Queen of Four. We've got shows with, well, go on down the list. You'll see Carolyn Shola Oriwa. Okay, we've got shows with, just scroll down to the archives and see what you find is interesting to you, okay? So, until the next time, everybody. Again, my name is Juwanza. Her name is Aquia Chepsuter. His name is Dr. Ted Watkins. And so, I'm going to take you out with some drums today, okay? So, until the next show, everybody. We love you too. Thank you.